Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the AI Podcast channel. I'm your host as usual, Guy Drinkle. And this one, we're going to be discussing the August State of Play from PlayStation, which was last week. Carl, you're here with me as usual. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Guy. How about yourself?
I'm a bit tired, but I won't bore people with that. When you got a weird sleep pattern like I do, if you just screw it with a couple hours here or there, it's like you've not had any sleep at all. But I'll soldier on as nobody cares. Yeah, I mean, before we get into the news, I mean, that State of Play, Carl, overall thoughts on it?
You know, it wasn't quite what we were expecting, unfortunately. There was no kind of big reveals or anything like that. I mean, as I was saying to you before, it kind of, I'd see it kind of as a fair comparison would be to the Xbox kind of third party event earlier in the summer in terms of the kind of level of things we've seen. Even then, you might say it was, some could argue that there was even less to be said about it because a lot of this was kind of for games we already knew were coming. They weren't kind of new reveals. And even then, the focus wasn't even on PS5. There was kind of a mix of VR stuff and PS4 stuff on top of PS5. So, I mean, it wasn't the most exciting of events, but sure, we'll get into it in more detail, I'm sure.
Yeah, we absolutely will. We absolutely will. But as usual, we start off with the news. There's like 2.5 new stories. I kind of added one in at the last minute. But do you want to go through the first one?
Yes. Yeah, so for a story, Rocksteady confirms it is working on a Suicide game. And the full story came from Wesley Yin Poole over in Eurogamer. So I'd urge you to read that if you haven't already. Rocksteady has confirmed an earlier report it is working on a Suicide Squad game. In a tweet showing an image of a decrepit-looking Superman with a target on his head, the Batman Arkham developer revealed the Suicide Squad game will be announced on the 22nd of August during the DC fandom event. Earlier reports had suggested that Rocksteady was working on a game centered on DC's Suicide Squad. The report centered on domains that had appeared to have been registered in relation to the game. Registered domains included Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.com, Suicide Squad Game.com, and Gotham Knights Game.com. And again, you can read the full story over on Eurogamer. So, I mean, what was your thoughts when you seen this guy? Was it a bit of kind of a, after all the months of rumors and talk, and I mean, years you could say of people kind of contemplating what Rocksteady could potentially be working on, you know, it seemed almost an underwhelming reveal to just tweet a picture on Twitter.
Yeah, it kind of did. I think this was the other story I just kind of dropped on you with the launch of the Avengers closed beta on PlayStation for people who pre-ordered it, and the gameplay is not looking too good, but we'll talk about that in a sec. I think it might have just been a quick, ooh, he's a smidge of an opportunity, Rocksteady superhero game. This might get a bit of a buzz, and to be fair, I think it did get more of a buzz than the Avengers beta did, because I've not really seen much on that, apart from the odd thing saying, oh, here's our reactions. But I've seen like, ooh, Suicide Squad. This could be something very different to what we kind of expect from Rocksteady, because obviously, I don't want to, it kind of is, it's not, I don't think it's bad to say, but the last three games they've made have been formulaic, and they've pretty much been perfection, apart from too much car in the third one. So it'd be kind of interesting, because Suicide Squad to me doesn't scream the same systems as the Arkham series. Like, I can't really, I don't know, say if you swap between Harley Quinn, Christ, I'm struggling for people, Deadshot, oh my god, it's gone blank, and everyone else in the Suicide Squad, it'll be quite interesting to see how it differs from the Arkham series, because I don't think the dark, gritty, jumping around gargoyle stuff's going to work in Suicide Squad, or in a setting like that. Like, I'm not going to lie, I'm not a big comic book reader, but I understand the characters, and I've seen the horrendous shitty film. So it'll be interesting in that regard, but a game coming from Rocksteady, I do agree with you, it was a bit strange that they just released a picture, whereas in any other year, that would be like the announcement of the year.
Yeah, no, it did seem a strange move. I mean, not that it surprises either. It had been rumored for a while that both this and Warner Brothers Montreal, isn't it? Yeah, that did Batman Arkham Origins. That they're doing the next Arkham game, and that will also be revealed at the DC fandom event. So we kind of expected this to come, but I still thought maybe we'd get kind of a trailer on YouTube and other kind of media sites or something on those lines. But nonetheless, as you said, it's not like it's had a detrimental effect, because people are still straight away taking notice. You know, I've seen on social media, you know, people are quite excited about this, because obviously, as you said, Rocksteady have, you know, made a stellar trilogy of games. People love them. They made after criticism, as you said, particularly the third one, those Batmobile levels weren't the most fun, but we won't go into that. It was a while ago now. So nonetheless, though, you know, people are going to be excited, whether, you know, it was just a simple line of text or an image or whatever, you know, people were going to be looking at this. They were going to be excited. And I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to that full reveal on August 22nd. Although I do think we're probably unlikely to see a lot of Suicide Squad, because that's been the talk from the industry insiders all along, that this is further off. It's been made as a next gen title. Mm-hmm. So that seems to me to indicate that it's at least a couple of years possibly away. Mm. Whereas obviously the next Batman Arkham game was more a title to straddle the generations. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that's announced to be coming this fall. And then, ooh, you know, kind of PS4, PS5 type of thing.
My wallet can't handle this, Carl.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you think, kind of moving away from the Rocksteady gate? I mean, August 22nd? I mean, it gives us someone else to talk about on the podcast, because if we've got the couple DC games, maybe they can add the other Warner Brother titles in there. Might be a bit of a stretch, but looks like August 22nd is a date in our diary now. What do you expect for the Arkham game itself?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I've said it on the podcast before that Batman Arkham Origins gets you know, kind of a hard time. And I don't think that's just, you know, obviously it was a different developer. There was different voice actors involved, with the premise being that it's, you know, a younger Joker, a younger Batman. But I very much enjoyed it. I thought they did justice to the Arkham moniker. Is it the weakest of the four Arkham games, or, you know, if we're not including the handheld title, quite possibly. But does that mean it's a
much
bad
worse
game?
Than Knight, to be fair.
Yeah, like, I didn't think it was a bad game at all. Like, it was a real, you know, I'd say a nice 7 out of 10, 7.5 out of 10,
I'd
possibly. I enjoyed it, and, you know, it was their first go at the series. Yeah, I'm sure they'll have learned a lot, and they'll have learned a lot from the Arkham, like, from Arkham Knight, obviously, that came since. And for that reason, you know, I think this, I have no reason to doubt that this game will be better than Origin was. You know, that it'll be kind of an evolution of the Arkham series. And for that reason, I personally am excited about this game, of seeing this game, almost as much as I am of seeing the Suicide Squad game. And I know that'll be sacrilege to a lot of the big Rocksteady fans out there, but, you know, that's just my personal take. So I'll be picking this game up when it does come out. I hope it's later this year. But for now, I suppose we can just wait till August 22nd and get a better look at what we can expect from it. And what's your thoughts on this one, Guy? I guess from what you said earlier, this would be one for you as well that you'll be planning to play.
Yes, I will have to take a loan out to afford all this stuff. But yes, I'd probably pick this up, depending. My winter gaming is, like, centered around Cyberpunk and the next-gen consoles. So if it comes out the same day as them, yeah, I can wait. Just to add, the best thing about that is that your iPhone thinks Siri is Siri. but yeah, I'm kind of with you. It's Batman. It's Batman. DC is about Batman for me. Right? Like, putting a picture of Superman up in the Suicide Squad doesn't really mean that much to me. Superman is shit. He's like the most boring superhero ever. And Suicide Squad, as I said earlier, I've only got the shit film to go off. So yeah, I mean, Rocksteady will sell it to me, and I will buy it because I am one of them whores, and I'll enjoy it. And then this will make me look stupid, but yeah, I'm more excited, especially considering it looks to be a lot closer than I think I saw a rumor. Suicide Squad's probably 2022. I'm with you there. But I think focusing just on the Batman game, I think it'll be interesting to, I presume, get away from the Joker. I'm not too familiar with the Court of Owls comic book, but the Arkham series, all four of the games have been centered around Batman and Joker pretty much. And obviously, he's not in Arkham Knight too much, but he's still the huge part of it, being a flashback and stuff like that. So if it is a completely Jokerless game, that'd be kind of interesting, because I think we all love Mark Hamill. But if it's a Joker that isn't Mark Hamill, it kind of creates its own problem, if you get what I mean. So it'll be interesting to see if they can create new villains, and iconic villains, because we all love Mark Hamill. But it's hard to match him. It's like, it's a problem in all industries. Like, well, Jay Leto was on for a stinker in terms of the films, because I don't know what the hell that was, but going after Heath Ledger, it's like an impossible task. So I think stuff like that kind of played in Origins as well. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, do you have much knowledge of the Court of Owls comic book?
Not really. I know kind of what the Court of Owls is, but I haven't read that particular arc. I would expect that it will be a step away from kind of the Joker. You know, maybe he'll appear in some sort of form, and you know, as he did in the last game, in terms of flashbacks and the like. But I do think we'll be looking at new villains here, but I'm not too concerned about that for the pure fact that when it comes to kind of a rogues gallery, you know, Batman is top of the pile in terms of kind of the villains that it has at its disposal. I mean, I think the only thing that comes in anyway close is Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And obviously I'm a little biased there as a big Spider-Man fan, but I think definitely Batman is right up there for villains. So there's no reason why a Batman game can't be top notch, you know, even without the Joker playing a part. And I mean, you know, to bring Suicide Squad back into it, I mean, that I think that says it all, that the guts of the villains that Suicide Squad is centered around are Batman villains. So, I mean, could the games even slightly tie into each other would be quite interesting. You know, could there be some of the Suicide Squad characters, the actors that will be voicing them, and, you know, is it going to have a somewhat similar art style? You know, that could be a bit of fun. I know there'd be some Rocksteady fans that are like, no, keep the two games completely separate. And, you know, but to me, that's just nonsensical. I mean, I talked about before on a previous show how, you know, Rocksteady have had nods to Arkham Origins in Arkham Knight. So, you know, they clearly do acknowledge that game, and I'm sure they feel that the studio did a good job of carrying on their moniker. So I don't think that there'd be any issue there. So it wouldn't completely shock me to see some sort of crossover between the two games.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It wouldn't surprise me either. I mean, Rocksteady don't want to be just become the Batman studio either. So I think it's good for them to let Montreal do it. Obviously, Batman sells, so DC and Warner Brothers Games are going to want them to make Batman games. But it doesn't have to be Rocksteady every time. Before we go on to the PlayStation news, I mean, this kind of linked in with both stories. I mentioned at the start of this story, Marvel Avengers beta. Have you seen any of it? Because the gameplay to me doesn't look the best.
Honestly, I haven't read too much about it myself. I do have a friend who's in the closed beta at the moment because he pre-ordered it. And he seems to actually be enjoying it. But I mean, he's a very casual gamer. He likes what he likes. He really loves the superheroes, mainly superheroes and sports titles that he plays. And I don't think he'd be as harsh on certain features of gameplay and stuff as you or I may be. But I am going to give the open beta a try once it becomes available in a few weeks. How much I'll play it, who knows? I probably want to focus on playing other things, but nonetheless, I'll give it a try as a Marvel fan. But I still, for me, you know, we've been saying it all along, you know, that this game, there's aspects of it I like the look of, but there's a lot of aspects that make me kind of take a double take, and it is concerning. But hopefully, you know, kind of appearances are deceiving here, and it actually turns out to be a good game. I mean, what's your take on what you've seen so far?
Anthem.
Oh, fun.
It looks a lot like Anthem. Like, if you put a Marvel skin on Anthem, it'd look like that. Like, the drop, the loot system is kind of similar. Like, it doesn't drop the loot. Like, you just open a box, then there's, like, either a green twinkle on the floor or a purple twinkle on the floor. It's like, it's 2020, guys. It's like, this is, it doesn't look like a AAA game to me. And, considering the other successes that the Marvel games have had so far, with obviously Spider-Man, Miles Morales is going to sell shitloads. The Switch one, which name is escaping me. they seem to be all successful. And this game, I mean, I don't think it's had the greatest way of life, because the reveal kind of got laughed at. It kind of looks like a fun game, but it doesn't look like the quality game you'd expect it to be, considering who's making it and the overlord company that is behind this. But maybe Disney haven't learned the lessons from the Star Wars one, I suppose.
Yeah, that's just it. I mean, the unfortunate reality is not every game that comes from Marvel is going to be of the quality of Spider-Man. And that's just the truth for any license, really. I mean, that they can do their best, you know, kind of license holder to instigate some form of quality control. But nonetheless, you can't account for everything, and ultimately the company that's developing and publishing the game is going to have the real say there. That's not to say that Avengers is bad, or, you know, we haven't played it. Yeah, we can't speak for it, but it's just, you know, we can only go on kind of what we've seen so far. And as I said, there does seem to be some things that are eye-catching for the wrong reasons. But hopefully, as I said, we're proven wrong on mm-hmm. those initial impressions, and I'm sure we'll both play the open beta when it becomes available in the next few weeks.
And then we can have a proper chat about it. Last news story then. I don't know why this is news. I thought this would kind of be expected, considering Sony own the rights to Spider-Man. But he's going to be a PlayStation exclusive, which I kind of expected if he was going to be in the game.
Yeah, so I included this one more so for the backlash, but I'll read it off then, and we'll have a little discussion on said backlash. So Spider-Man is coming to Marvel's Avengers, but as a PlayStation exclusive, and this story initially came from Matt Wales over at Eurogamer, so give that a read if you haven't already. There's good news for Spider-Man fans hoping to see their favorite web-slinger in Crystal Dynamics' upcoming Avengers game, or rather, good news for some Spider-Man fans, at least. He'll be joining the post-launch hero lineup for free next year, but as a PlayStation exclusive. Confirmation of Spider-Man's arrival comes via the PlayStation blog, where Crystal Dynamics says it's, quote, hard at work making him just as great on the sticks as he is on the page, end quote. Crystal Dynamics notes it will be celebrating Spider-Man's arrival in the PlayStation versions of Marvel's Avengers next year with a special in-game event featuring unique challenges. And again, you can read the full story over on Eurogamer. So, yeah, Spider-Man's a PlayStation exclusive, and people are not happy. I mean, I think also some people are surprised that he's not coming till next year. It seems a strange move to not have the most popular Marvel character available in the game at launch. But I suppose that's another topic altogether. But I mean, as a primary Xbox player guy, I mean, what's your thoughts on this? Because I mean, it's you that this news is affecting.
I'm not too bothered, really. Like, it's kind of what I expected. Like, if I think it'd make more sense if they launched with Spider-Man, as you say, then it makes more sense. But to just kind of release him as DLC in a year's time, let's be honest, even if it's a brilliant game, in a year's time, it's probably going to be at least half dead. It doesn't really bother me. I don't get the backlash. Like, it'd be nice for Xbox or PC or Switch to get an exclusive character to kind of balance it out. But I don't know if they had, I'm not even sure what the launch cast is, but say if they had Vision or Wolverine or whatever, some X-Men characters or Fantastic Four, whatever. They're probably too big to be exclusive, but it doesn't really bother me. Like, Spider-Man's the most political thing in Disney, Sony. So, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's not Crystal Dynamics' decision to make it exclusive. It's Sony. They own the rights. Why wouldn't they make it exclusive? If Microsoft owned the rights to a character that was in comic books. I wouldn't want him on PlayStation. It's just the way it is. Just the way it is, and I couldn't really give a toss. But just releasing it as DLC is a bit strange. As you said, as we said in the first story as well, Spider-Man's the... Maybe not in terms of the new generation with the MCU and stuff like that, but people who grew up our age, Spider-Man's the biggest Marvel one because of the cartoon. People who grew up with comics, he's probably the best comic, got the best villains, etc. But we grew up with the 90s cartoon, didn't we? That was like that and X-Men were the two best cartoons on TV. So to not have that, it's a bit strange, but I suppose Spider-Man's got... It's pretty much going to have 1.5 games exclusive, like full-on full games, not as kind of one second, well, not secondary, but side piece character in an ensemble. So, doesn't really affect me either way.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. And personally, I was a little surprised because we haven't seen this before. Now, that's, you know, it's not like we've had kind of a massive multi-platform Marvel game for some time. But, you know, there is the likes of, Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, and Spider-Man would have been available on that, on the Xbox version as well. So we had no priors for this, but I suppose given that, you know, kind of the complicated ownership of Spider-Man's rights, with Sony owning kind of the movie rights, it does make it, you can see why Sony would be keen to have Spider-Man as a PlayStation exclusive character. So obviously that had some sway in terms of this, coming to pass. So I suppose in a way a lot of Xbox fans are probably just going to look at it that way and say, well, look, you know, it was unavoidable because of the situation with the rights, but I'm sure some will be nonetheless disappointed because, as you said, particularly people kind of our age and a bit older would have kind of grown up watching that cartoon and reading the comics and the likes, and Spider-Man would be one of, if not their favorite characters. I'm sure they'd be very disappointed that they won't get to play as him. But that said, let's be honest, this is a Destiny Anthem-y type game where you're playing as a multitude of characters. There are some Marvel characters that have some overlap with Spider-Man in terms of kind of how they play and how they are in general in the comics and that. So you'd imagine in the game there's going to be some crossover in terms of how they play. So I'm sure inevitably there will be a character added that will play exactly like Spider-Man and that will be available on Xbox as well. So
Venom.
I mean, maybe, or you know, or if completely if the Spider-Man licenses are tied up, there will be someone else, I'm sure.
Introducing new hero, Spider-Dude.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure people will get at least experience playing as Spider-Man, even if it doesn't look like Spider-Man. That would be my... I feel that's a safe bet. So... You know, where there's a will, there's a way, I suppose. I can certainly see why there has been somewhat of a backlash, certainly, you know, given kind of just the status of Spider-Man as a character.
I suppose this is the first AAA, or we presume AAA. I mean, going off the gameplay, I kind of said it didn't look like it, but it's perceived to be AAA, and I assume so by Disney and Sony as well. Marvel v Capcom's not really that. Spider-Man games of the past weren't really that. Like the film games are great, but they're just on PlayStation as well. Apart from like The Amazing Spider-Man and stuff, which I owned on Xbox. And yeah, maybe it's just, I mean, they have a deal with Sony anyway, didn't they? Because it was shown originally on... Was it their last E3 or a State of Play? It was on something. But I think it's one of them deals with Sony, regardless of the Spider-Man stuff, so yeah, it just makes sense. But it's a bit strange as exclusive, but I don't think anyone cares too much. But yeah, I think you're right. There'll be a, as I say, spider dude in there somewhere for Xbox and Switch, etc. Let's move on to the state of play then. I mean, we got overall thoughts earlier. Crash Bandicoot, Carl, first game. I mean, you're not the Crash one on this, but I've asked the question. Now I've got to start with you.
Yeah, so it was a. I think it was a noteworthy title to start with, given Crash's history on the PlayStation platform. As I've said before, like this game looks good. It's not one I'm likely to play because, you know, as we know, I'm more of a Spyro man. Okay. You know, when they announced Spyro 4, you know, I'll be the one kind of leading the hype train, you know, but I'll let, you know, leave you as conductor on this one for now. But it looks good. You know, they're sticking to that kind of classic Crash gameplay, but they're kind of giving it a nice new coat of paint. You know, kind of there's a lot more to the gameplay in terms of like you get the different masks, as we've seen revealed, some slow time, some kind of make different aspects of the world phase in and out. You've also got obviously the inverted mode, which I think they indicated they kind of collaborated with Beanox in, which kind of gives the game a level of replayability and making each level play different than it did in your first playthrough. So I think it's what you would expect from a Crash sequel. You know, they don't want to try and do something different because that's what Crash games did in the past, you know, after, you know, post Naughty Dog, and people didn't always take to them. So I think they're playing it safe in a way, but it's a smart approach in my mind. I mean, what's your take as a Crash fan?
It looks fun. It looks like more Crash, and that's kind of what you want from these games. Like, obviously, Mario's king of this genre. That's the word I'm looking for. And they've kind of perfected the formula of it's the same but different. And this is kind of what I think Crash needs to do. What Spyro's a bit different, but Spyro needs to do. I'm trying to think of any other platformer in the world at the moment. My mind's gone blank. But they're probably the three main ones. And it kind of looks the same. Obviously, I can't remember how many years it's been, but it's been a good few years since Crash. I'm going to call it Free, but is it Cortez's Revenge? I think it is. And it looks different, obviously. You've got Crash and Coco as kind of main characters now. You can play as Cortez. Cortex. Why am I saying Cortez? You can play as... Oh, Christ, what's his name? What's the dingo called?
Oh,
my mind. I am tired, people. That's why my mind's not working. Dingo. Crash. Bandicoot.
Dingo Dial.
I should have figured that out from the dingo bit. But anyway, it looks like they're kind of adding more characters. And it looks like they're adding new gameplay because it showed him freezing it with his gun and stuff like that, whereas Crash and Coco have to use the masks. Dingo Dial had he had like a big air gun suck thing, didn't he? It looks like they've just mixed it up a bit, and that's kind of what you want from these games. Like, you still want it to be Crash, but it has to be Crash in 2020. You can't just keep repeating stuff from the early 2000s and the 90s. So I'm happy with it. I might not get it straight away, because as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be an expensive end of the year, considering there's probably games that haven't even been announced that are coming out early in the winter. So it might be one I have to wait for. Maybe a sale. in the early next year, but I'll get it at some point. But it's more Crash, and that's what you want. But I just really want Crash Tag Team Racing. I just want Tag Team Racing.
I think you'll probably get it. I'm sure there'll be a, after the remake and how well it's done, yes. I'm sure there'll be a sequel to that as well. I think Crash is going to be a constant for a while in terms of both his platformers and his car racers, I'd hazard a guess.
I hope so. It's due. To be honest, I haven't even played the remake of Spyro, not what we've got. It's always on sale. Might have to pick it up. I am looking for a single-player game, but we'll talk about that at the end. we'll move on. Hitman 3. We've seen this earlier in the year. I bought 1 and 2 on the back of it, and I enjoyed them. I still need to finish 2, actually. But Hitman, and when you're half paying attention to the state of play, and then you see first-person Hitman, you get excited. And then you notice it says PSVR in the bottom corner, Carl.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a very, very quick showing of Hitman 3. I suppose they just want to keep us reminded that it is coming early next year. And they went on then to reveal that it'll be playable in VR, as will the first two games. And I think it's, given the style in which these Hitman games have been released, they're somewhat episodic in terms of how the content comes out. And, rather than being, it doesn't, although they're, it's Hitman, it's Hitman 2, it's Hitman 3, they don't even feel like sequels. They almost feel like more of the same. So I think that's quite fitting that they've gone back and they're going to give this VR treatment to the previous two games as well. I can't see, you said you'd like to be able to play Hitman in first person. I can't see why they wouldn't make that function available, on top of the VR.
True.
I mean, now that's just my opinion, but I don't think it would take all that much. And if that's something, it's kind of the middle ground between the third person and the VR, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if that is a feature in the games, at least in the third one, once that comes out. So I wouldn't be disheartened quite yet, but I think it's a cool idea for VR. I mean, I think that's what, especially in terms of PSVR, that's what works best. In terms of games, is often when they take an existing game or kind of formula of a game and adapt it for VR rather than trying to reinvent the wheel. So I think it's a good idea for IO Interactive to pursue VR with the Hitman series alongside obviously just developing the game for regular gameplay. So I'll be very intrigued to see kind of how the VR is received when it launches, I'd assume alongside Hitman 3 early next year.
I mean, in this state of play, my two favourite things from it probably are two VR things. I mean, discounting Crash as well, but two VR things are probably my favourite thing from a state of play. It's a bit strange, considering I thought it'd be a gimmick, but maybe they soldier on with it. Braid Anniversary Edition. This seems like bigger news to other people than me, but it seemed to be a cult game. That's what the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Braid because it was kind of one of the first notable indie games back on the Xbox 360, which obviously was kind of the initial platform where indies became notable. I mean, I think of Braid almost hand in hand with Limbo because they came out at a similar time, and my friend would have had them both, and it was him who introduced me to both games. Now, he played through Braid and finished it and loved it. I played around, I got it myself and played around with it a bit. I never finished it though. But you could, it is a very, in terms of its art, it is quite visually kind of eye-catching. Like, it very much, it It's great little 2D art style. And obviously that they're kind of enhancing that further with the anniversary edition. It looks even nicer than it did the first time. And I mean, for me, there'd be no reason why they couldn't just re-release the original game. I'm sure they'd still do fairly well on more recent platforms, because it is a nice looking game. You know, I think the art style is almost timeless, which often is the case with 2D games when compared to 3D games.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's a nice little puzzle platformer. It got a lot of traction at the time, partly because of a video of, I don't know if you recall, of Soldier Boy playing it with his friends and just laughing at just dying and reversing time over and over again. you know, the game doesn't have to rely on Soldier Boy giving it
free advertising.
I think it sold itself, because it is a quality title. And I'm sure there are fans of the kind of the earlier release of the game, and fans of this genre that might have never gotten around to it, that will be interested in this one and pick it up when it comes out next year.
Yeah. To me, it's like me in a crash for other people. This next game got quite a lot of time, and I can see the appeal of it. But it didn't really do much for me personally, and that's The Pathless, which, if you don't remember what it was, people, it's the one where there was someone running really fast, shooting arrows at stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this game was revealed a while back for PlayStation 4, and then it kind of went quiet on it for a while. And then after the last PlayStation 5 event, it was kind of re-revealed for PlayStation 5 as like a press release, alongside another game. And the other game is kind of escaping my mind. But particularly with The Pathless, you know, there were a lot of suggestions at the time like that was supposed to be in the event, but just, you know, was cut due to time. And kind of given the coverage it was given in this state of play, that would lend some credence to that suggestion, that it's kind of like we couldn't have you in the last event, but we're going to give you a nice run time in this one, because I think alongside Crash and Godfall, it was probably one of the games that got the most coverage, and the most that was shown. I mean, I'd almost echo what you said. I mean, I think the game looks beautiful, like it's, you know, it's really stunning visually, but then the gameplay just kind of looks empty to me. It seems like one of those games that's almost trying to be Journey, but I think Journey was kind of lightning in a bottle, a one-off thing. I don't think you can emulate that. Now obviously it's a little bit more action-packed than Journey would have been, but nonetheless, you know, it does give me those vibes of and I'm not going to say copycat, because, you know, reality, you can say any game is a copy of another game. They're all inspired by each other. I suppose the only game that can say it's not a copy is Pong. And even then, it is a copy, because it's a copy of Tennis in real life. So there
How
you
dare
go.
You.
So, you know, it's probably not for me, this game, same as yourself. But that's not to say if it comes out and it gets rave reviews and it's getting 9s out of 10s across the board, and, you know, people are saying it's a must play game, that I won't go out and play it. Obviously I would. So I suppose it's just a wait and see on this one, but it does visually, it looks quite stunning, and I'm sure it'll take full advantage in that sense of kind of the increased visual prowess of the PS5.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there. I quite like the way you worded it. Pretty, but empty. We could maybe, I'm not going to say skip, but there's a lot we could quickly cover here. Spelunky 2. Anything to add?
I played Spelunky. Wasn't my kind of game, but obviously it's one of those indie titles that, you know, similar to Braid, and even on a higher level, I'd say it's synonymous with indie titles. People love Spelunky. I'm sure those people are extremely happy that it's gotten a release date of September 15th, and they'll be looking forward to playing that one. And then more power to them. That's pretty much all I can say on Spelunky 2.
It looks like it pissed me off. That's all I can say for that. Genshin Impact
looks like your typical action RPG, and obviously I'm a fan of RPGs, as has been well established on this podcast. But I wasn't particularly aware of this one. It's one maybe I'll have to look into a bit more myself. But I mean, it looks like it's imminent, because they gave kind of a release window of autumn 2020, and we're pretty much out of autumn now. So, well, on the way anyway. So. I'd say it won't be too long before this one comes out, but I mean, it was really just a trailer. All we can really gauge is that it is an action RPG. So I'll look more into this one. Maybe it might be one that's for me.
Aeon Must Die.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It was a great trailer. I mean, I still don't know what it is. Is it a kind of a 2D action game? Is it a fighting game? You know, at times it looked like a fighting game. But it's really cool looking trailer. Obviously, it's coming out in 2021. I'm sure more kind of will come about this one in the coming months. I liked what I seen in terms of a visual sense, but it'd be nice to get kind of a better idea of what the gameplay was. I mean, did you have any thoughts at all on that one?
Pretty much just got to echo what you said, really. Pretty, but God knows what it is. Christ. Anno Mutationum?
How do you say that? Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. This one just looks like your kind of typical stylistic 2D side-scroller action title. I mean, you know, it's been like a trend to release these kind of games in the last, say, 3-4 years. And now we have an absolute abundance of them if you log on to the PlayStation Store or the Switch store, anything you can find a pile of them, and I suppose some stand above others. I suppose it's too early yet to say where this one will stand in the hierarchy of these kind of titles. I mean, it it looks nice in terms of its visuals, but I think this is kind of, for me, it'll be kind of a wait and see if there's, for right now, it's not something that would be on my radar, but if it comes out and it, I do like those kind of games, but as I said, because there's just simply so many of them, you can't play them all. But if it gets kind of high praise and people recommend it, it could be one I could certainly check out. I mean, any thoughts yourself on that one?
No, it's pretty much the same for me. I mean, it looks like, I know it might only be on PlayStation, but I'd call it a Game Pass game. It's not something you actively look to buy unless it really is your niche. But if you saw it, you'd go, I'd play that. I'd play that if there was, if it came on, is it PS Now or what's PlayStation's version of the Game with Gold? You just get free games a month, don't you?
Yeah, the it used to be called like the Instant Games Collection, but now it's just kind of your PS Plus games.
That's the one, PS Plus. That's what I'm looking for. If that's kind of how I'd see myself playing it. So if it's not a PlayStation exclusive, not everything on here was PlayStation timed exclusive, was it?
No. I think most of these are just standard kind of cross-platform, except for the ones we kind of knew about before that are kind of timed exclusives, like, well, Godfall is apparently and a full-on exclusive for now, but I do think it's going to be revealed for Xbox down the road. And I think The Pathless is a timed exclusive, at least, or possibly a full-on exclusive. But I'm pretty sure everything else we see... Oh, and Bugsnax obviously is a timed exclusive. But I think everything else we've seen will be available, likely to, you know, day and date on Xbox. Control, obviously, we'll get to that in a moment, but I think that's also, the DLC is a timed exclusive. But most of it, I think, there's no kind of exclusivity there.
Cool. It still begs the question why this event was made. I suppose I know why it's made, to avoid releasing the price of the PS5, but it still seems very pointless, considering not much of it's exclusive. You mentioned Bugsnax there. Bugsnax?
Yeah, I mean, this game just has like a bizarre... It's almost become a cult game, even though it's not even out yet. I think partly that it comes down to the song, which a lot of people enjoy. But it was nice to finally know what Bugsnax is, because I think I remember us discussing the last PlayStation event, and, you know, we were kind of hemming and hawing about what it might actually be, and now it looks like it's a first person game, and the aim of the game seems to be to capture these Bugsnax. So at least we know what kind of game it is, because it almost annoys me when you see a game revealed and people get really hyped about it and you're like, but what is it? You know, it's a video game, you know, gameplay is key. So we know what it is now. It's definitely not one for me, but clearly it is one for a lot of people. You know, given, you know, for starters, those who are big fans of obviously Octodad, their last game, and you know, the people who have been kind of had their eye caught by the reveal for the game, but it's definitely not one I'm going to be playing. What about you, Guy? Would you be catching Bugsnax in holiday 2020?
No. I could see the appeal. But no, it's you're catching animals that look like food. I don't get it. To be honest, when I was watching the video trailer, I thought, I was like, is this their version of Grounded? And then it wasn't. it was just very not me, I'd say. I kind of alluded to it earlier, a Star Wars VR series, Vader Immortal. I mean, this is kind of what you want VR for, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool to me. You know, it's probably might be like the most eye-catching thing of the whole state of play to me. I I'm still yet to play VR. I know a few people who have VR headsets, and I keep kind of hemming and hawing about possibly going over and giving them a try. And I mean, this isn't likely going to be like a full on game. I think almost a Star Wars VR series. I mean, that to me suggests kind of smaller titles. And but like when you think about kind of VR and the popular VR titles, I mean, Batman Arkham VR is often one that pops up, and that was a very small experience. But if you can get a small experience right in VR, you know, that's massive, you know, because I don't think people play VR for hours on end anyway. I think a lot of people will get sick if they attempted to do so. So those smaller experiences can be where it's at. And if this offers kind of that a quality kind of bite-sized experience of Star Wars and VR, I think it'll do really well. And from what we've seen, I think if it controls well, it could be a lot of fun to play.
Yeah. It's probably, I'm not going to get PSVR, but if I could borrow it off someone, I'm with you there, probably this would be what I'd borrow it for. You mentioned it earlier, Control Expansion 2, it's not something I've played. I think I don't think I've played Remedy games, but again, if Remedy make the games you like, you'll probably like fight me for saying I've not played one.
Yeah, I mean, Remedy have, you know, they have their following. I mean, there's people who love Alan Wake and Control particularly. I mean, that game did really well. It was kind of critically acclaimed. I have friends that have played it and swear by it. They love the game. I meant to give it a try. I meant to pick it up and give it a try, but I just never got around to it. Although that said, Control is being re-released for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. So, you know, I might get that kind of chance to give it a try second time around when it comes to the next gen consoles, and I'll likely wait for it at this stage because I may as well. But it's kind of cool that with Expansion 2 all that they're kind of tying in Alan Wake to Control, and they've confirmed that Control and Alan Wake both kind of take place in almost like a Remedy cinematic universe.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool because, you know, it makes sense given the kind of studio Remedy are. I have no kind of doubts that just as the main game was quality, that this expansion will be quality. And it is a timed exclusive for PlayStation 4, because I recall there was a little backlash at the time that these DLCs were going to be timed for PS4, but I doubt Xbox fans will have to wait too long to get their hands on it.
Yeah, 100%. Auto Chess.
Yeah, this was interesting. Like, I mean, I was like, when I heard this, I was like, why is that so familiar to me? And I was kind of racking my brain trying to think. And then I realized that Auto Chess was initially a mod that kind of generated from Dota. And kind of people have gone and made their own games out of it, such as this one, which comes from a Chinese developer, Dragonest. And I believe this is a free-to-play title. And it's coming obviously October 31st. You know, the auto chess games definitely have their own little audience. They're never going to be the biggest subgenre. But nonetheless, you know, people who like those kind of games, you know, chess and strategy games are likely to enjoy this one. So I'm sure they'll jump on it. I mean, is it one at all that catches your interest?
I mean, kind of, now that you've said it's free. It's one of them games you'd play while something else is downloading, if you get what I mean. Yeah, everyone has them. Yeah. It's like Fallout Shelter is probably the best one I can think of, but I have like It's not Feeding Frenzy, but it's similar to Feeding Frenzy. It's like a shark game. I think it was on phone first, but I've got one of them to play whilst I was downloading. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is, really. People will play it because it's free, but it won't be that big, I don't think.
It, a little carve out its own little audience.
Yeah.
And that's all it really needs to do when it comes to these kind of games. It's funny you say that it's the kind of game you'd play kind of while waiting for another game to download, because not so long ago I was in a friend's house and we were waiting for a game to download to his PC, and while waiting we played a multiplayer game of actual chess on his PC. So it could well work for that purpose.
There you go. The Pedestrian. I literally just looked at the YouTube thing there because I could not remember it. Yes.
It's a puzzle game.
Yes.
It's not one that personally appeals to me, but I'm well aware that those kind of games are very popular with their own group of fans. I mean, are you a puzzle game person, Guy?
No. I mean, so... I won't say no definitively. Like, it's rare that you'll play a puzzle game because it's very, very niche. But I just don't see who... get an Xbox and stuff to play a puzzle game. Or a PlayStation, because obviously it's more popular. But it just seems strange to me. Again, it's one of them games, if it was free, you'd play it, but I'm not going to spend money on it.
No, I understand. It's unlikely to be a game that will appeal to me. But, you know, obviously it will have its audience. These kind of games often do. You know, sometimes people, I know people who like to play kind of puzzle games almost as like a palate cleanser between playing kind of larger, more action orientated titles. And, you know, I know this game has, you know, I have seen its name crop up a few times, and there does seem to be certainly an interest in it. So I'm sure it'll certainly find its audience when it comes out in January 2021. I think it was announced like it was geared as a PS4 title, but I'm sure obviously it will come to PS5, or at the very least it's gonna, you know, kind of be forwards compatible with PS5, because all games certified after a certain date had to be anyway, and I assume that this falls under that. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how it reviews when it comes out early next year.
Yeah, 100%. Next game I completely forgot happened, but this was probably my main takeaway from it watching it live, is Hood Outlaws and Legends. A kind of retelling of the Robin Hood myth, legend, whatever the hell. It's not something we've seen in a game to my knowledge, but it looked like an interesting concept, and I thought it was a PlayStation exclusive whilst watching, and it's not, because I just watched the trailer again. It's interesting. If it comes out in a, let's say, a summer spot, I could see myself buying this.
Yeah, no, it does. It's an interesting game. You know, it's kind of one of those PvP VE games, you know, it's player versus player, but also versus the environment. It looks like it strikes me as a game you could definitely have some fun with, you know, if you have some friends that are playing it as well. And it looks like they're, you know, Sumo Digital are putting a lot into it, and it's no, obviously it's not a PlayStation exclusive, but it's no surprise that it got revealed at a PlayStation event, because see, Sumo Digital have some history with Sony. They're currently developing Sackboy's Big Adventure. They have a lot of teams that have kind of contributed to a lot of Sony titles in recent years, and you know there has been rumors at times that Sony could potentially purchase them. So I'm it makes a lot of sense, as I said, to have the reveal during this event. And it's an intriguing game. I'd be very interested in kind of seeing more on it and seeing kind of more of a, you know, kind of direct gameplay. But on paper, it certainly sounds like a game that could be a lot of fun to play with a group of friends. I mean, and I guess that was your takeaway and why it's kind of caught your eye.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just kind of cool. It's just what you kind of want. And obviously this will be out next gen because it's 2021. But it'll be interesting to see a more in-depth look at it, really, and how it works. Because, I mean, any game like that, you kind of do get Assassin's Creed vibes from it, I suppose. But it'll be kind of cool to see how it works in terms of the PvP stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one you're going to have to see in action. And I think sometimes with these kind of games, there is that concern, will they be tied in terms of how they play? Because there has been, and I know it's not directly like these games, but there has been games that are somewhat similar, like Friday the 13th and Predator Hunting Grounds. That have what I would assume would be a similar gameplay type, that haven't always played very smoothly. So I think it's definitely one you're going to have to see more on and kind of see how it is. I'm sure wouldn't be surprised if it gets kind of a beta, closer to release. So that'd be something to potentially get in on and kind of see exactly how it plays. But I'm certainly, you know, like yourself, I'm intrigued by this one.
Temtem. We knew it was coming to console. I think it was meant to come to console this year, if I remember reading the strategy map thing they had. But obviously with COVID and stuff, it might have got pushed back a bit, or I might just be wrong. But Temtem, I mean, it's Pokemon, but it's Pokemon that you don't have to play on Nintendo. And that's probably what we've wanted for our entire lives, Cal.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when this one came out in early access on Steam, you know, got a lot of traction, a lot of coverage on YouTube, and I watched a kind of a few gameplays of it, and it does look, you know, it looks really solid. Yes, it looks like it has copied a hell of a lot from Pokemon, but as I said earlier, every game copies something from another game. You know, there's no real complete originality anymore. And when it is a game, if it's done well and it's completely original, it tends to blow up. So I'm not knocking, you know, the developers at all for that. And, you know, as you said, if you know, a lot of people have wanted this for a long time. And a lot of people have wanted Pokemon to be completely online multiplayer for a long time, and that's what Temtem appears to be, or at least will be once it's complete. We knew it was coming to PS4, Xbox One and Switch, but you know, obviously I don't think it had been officially confirmed for PS5 and Xbox One yet, and obviously it now has been, or Xbox One, Xbox Series X rather.
We'll get used to it one day.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, hopefully when we finally get a release date and that, it'll start to click into the regular speech. But no, I really like the look of Temtem, and it's definitely something I could see myself picking up and playing with my friends. Be, you know, just as we would with a Pokemon game. So I was happy to see this one get a little time in the limelight. I mean, what was your take?
Can't wait. I want to play this game so fucking much. I mean, again, it might have to come in like a unique release window to kind of get the attention it is, depending on what comes out next year, obviously. But if they, again, summer seems to be the lull period for gaming because everything else is getting shown, so there's not much getting released. If it comes out next summer, I think it could be the hit of the summer, really. It just looks like, as I said, Pokemon for non-Nintendo. It's what we want. It's the games that we want. And obviously it's kind of had its teething or still in its teething period on PC, so hopefully the console ports are more polished whenever they come out. But you can be patient with games like these, because it looks like it's big, it looks like it'll expand. And that's what we want. Hopefully it's something new, because as you say, there's been Pokemon clones and stuff that have kind of fell flat on the face, but it might be a bit disrespectful to call it a Pokemon clone, but if this turns into a franchise, it's what we want. We don't want just Pokemon making the same game every few years. And I know I haven't finished it, but I think Sword and Shields weren't exactly the best version of the Pokemon games. I think it's fair to say. So hopefully Temtem comes out. It at least makes Pokemon up their game, because that's what we want. We want people making better games because there's pressure on them. And I don't mean like crunch and all that jazz, but if Temtem's a success, hopefully Pokemon up their game. That's probably what I want to say.
Yeah, no, that could certainly be the case. I mean, if Temtem does well, could that put pressure on, you know, Game Freak and Nintendo to finally release the kind of full on online, you know, MMORPG of the Pokemon series that people have wanted for a long time, and that obviously the recent Pokemon titles were kind of somewhat of a half step or a quarter step more accurately towards. So it will be interesting in that sense to see kind of how Temtem does itself and what kind of knock-on effect that has in terms of the development of future Pokemon games.
Absolutely.
Also, for some reason, Temtem sounds like a chocolate bar to me. I don't know. Is that just me?
Yes. Yes, it is. Christ. I'm not sure what Temtem means to me now. Certainly not a damn chocolate bar. The biggest part of the show was the Godfall gameplay. I'll explain my view on it first, Carl, but it kind of didn't really add anything to me. Like, we've not seen like a big long gameplay thing like this from the game, but it's just given me the same vibes we already had from like the dubstep trailer. Like, it's just what I expected. Like, I didn't see the need for like a long gameplay demo, because we kind of saw what type of game it was in the trailers we've already seen, so it's not really added much for me to this game. It's kind of what I thought it was, a hack and slash, but next gen hack and slash.
Yeah, I mean, I'd echo that. I mean, you know, I think when it was first kind of, we knew about it, but we didn't quite know how it played. But then we were shown that, and I mean, we were satisfied in knowing what kind of game it was. And I don't really think today's showing added anything at all. I mean, it was just kind of going through the weapon types and how your combat styles differ when you use different weapons. But I mean, it's not like that's groundbreaking for games. We've seen that in games. I mean, straight away when they're shown it kind of made me think of Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning, quite possibly because I'm very excited about the remaster of that game that's coming out next month. But that had a similar kind of approach and using different weapons kind of slightly changed how you fight. And this seems to be somewhat similar. Now, this is, we're talking years later, it's somewhat an evolution of that, but we've seen it in a lot of different games, that kind of mechanic over the years, so it's nothing new. And like, I can only say what I've said about this game before. I mean, it looks nice, you know, it certainly looks pretty. I'm intrigued by the idea of a looter slasher, is that it?
Yes.
Rather than a looter shooter.
Yes.
So it is kind of interesting to take that kind of Borderlands approach and put it into more of a kind of third person action game. But I still think I need to see something. This is a must play. Because for now, to me, it's not a must play. Even though, as I was saying to you earlier when we were talking about it, that on paper, there's a lot about this game. I mean, it's high fantasy. I love looter shooters. I'm a big Borderlands fan. I like games I can kind of sit down and play with my mates. You know, there's a lot of this on paper that I like, but for some reason the showings of this game just aren't catching my interest, and I just can't quite put my finger on why. I mean, what about you? I mean, what's your kind of feeling in regards to Godfall?
Again, it's not really changed from what we saw at the big PlayStation event. I'd play it, but I wouldn't pay, well, it's going to be £70 now. I wouldn't pay full retail for it. I'd pay £30 for it. I'd play it with my mates if they got it. And I think we'd enjoy it. But at the same time, there's all that. It looks like one of them MMOs that are kind of free. I think I played one called Blessed Unleashed. It kind of looked a bit like that. Obviously a lot more detailed and stuff like it. That's what it reminded me. Monster Hunter World, but obviously a very different setting. Like, the trailer just popped up here because I've kind of let YouTube run in the background. It's kind of randomly popped up, thankfully. It does look a bit like Monster Hunter World, but for next gen, but obviously without the monsters. It's more fantasy and stuff like that. Which kind of, it sounds like everything we're saying here sounds great, but whilst I'm watching the footage, I'm just like, meh. Like, the way we're describing it, this would be like a Game of the Year contender, but what you see, it's just like, it looks fine, but there's nothing saying I need to play this game.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I have no doubt it's going to be a solid game, but it just, you know, especially, I don't know what it is, but oftentimes when a game is an exclusive, or not necessarily, you know, just being exclusive, because there's plenty of small titles that are exclusives, and, you know, they never set the world alight. But generally, when a AAA game is an exclusive, that status of exclusivity comes with a level of expectation, and it's almost unfair in many ways. But I mean, we judge a game that's exclusive much harsher than a game that's multi-plat, or at least I'm not saying that that's a covers all rule. Certainly, I mean, it can often depend on the publisher, the developer, that kind of thing. That there are other factors that have an impact, but I think just in general, you know, we do. So when you've got a game, you know, that kind of launches, and let's take The Order 1882 as an example. I mean, when that came out, you know, it was an okay game. I played through it. I enjoyed what I played. It only lasted like 6 hours, but it looked pretty. It kind of had a cool story. You know, I thought it was a solid enough game. But that game was in many ways, you know, kind of panned by a lot of people because it was this big AAA exclusive for PlayStation 4. People had that expectation. And, you know, I feel that's inherent in my mind as well when it comes to Godfall, because at the moment it's been mooted as an exclusive, albeit a third-party exclusive. I have that expectation that it should blow me away, and it's not doing that. And as maybe that's a reflection on me and on the wider kind of player base in general, in terms of having that weird mindset that you expect more from exclusives, because I don't think that should be the way, but it is the way. And I think that may be having an impact on how I'm viewing Godfall. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that at all?
I think you're right, to be fair, because if this was coming to Xbox, I'd be a hypocritical bitch right now and saying I'd probably buy it. but no, I think you're right. I think the fact that is a PlayStation exclusive, because when you say PlayStation exclusive, you're saying Game of the Year. You're saying this is going to win Game of the Year, nothing's going to stop it. But when you watch that, it's like, I'm going to say generic, but it's probably not. It's probably going to be like one of the best of its kind. But it's stuff we've seen. It's harsh, but I think it's right. But generic's not a bad thing. But as I say, when you say exclusive to PlayStation, you do kind of expect more. Like, if this was an exclusive to Xbox, you'd kind of go, it's quite fitting. It's multiplayer. It's kind of Xbox's niche. It'll be on Game Pass. People, it'll get a good player base. Where if it's Sony, you'll have to pay 70 quid, or two people have to play 70 quid, because it looks like a game you'd have to play with your mates to get the most out of it, or that's seemingly what I'm looking at. So yeah, it's... maybe it's the wrong company. But yeah, I think how you worded it's probably a lot more eloquent than I've put it. But yeah, as I keep saying, I'd play it, but I wouldn't pay for it. I think I've said that a few times in this show. Or I wouldn't pay full price for it.
Which I think sums up your your thoughts on the state of play as a whole, in terms of nothing really. There wasn't a lot in terms of kind of wow moments, and you know, even as I said, there was kind of games I liked the look of, as I said, the Star Wars VR experience, and
it sold VR well. there's two games from VR I'd really want to play in VR.
yeah, that's true. But no, that to me, yeah, I'd say Vader Immortal was probably the highlight for me, which says it all in a way. But I think with a lot of these games, you know, especially the kind of the indie titles that were shown off, it's more about a wait and see how they're received, which is often my approach to indies, unless it's a particular indie developer that, you know, I'm almost a fanboy of, and tend to like all their titles. I get very excited when one is revealed, but generally it's kind of wait and see it, you know, how it's received when it comes out, because the reality is so many games come out in this day and age, you can't play them all, so you have to kind of separate the ones you will play from the ones you won't somehow, and often that is kind of seeing reviews and, you know, kind of full on gameplay and that when they finally do launch. So, you know, that it's not to say any of the games that we see in this event were bad games. It's just more so that some of them weren't for us, or some of them we have to see more of in the coming months.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, your game of the state of play was probably Star Wars. Mine's probably Temtem, but I kind of knew that was coming out, so I'd probably say HUD Outlaws, just because it looked a bit different from pretty much anything else. So I'll go with that. Obviously, Crash speaks for itself, but I didn't know anything about HUD Outlaws and Legends, so I'll go with that. I just realised my computer is on 5% and my charge is downstairs, so I'm going to finish up now, Carl. So yeah, thank you for this. We'll probably, maybe not next week, but this state of play kind of just came out of nowhere, so God knows what drops next week. We might have a show next weekend, or maybe the weekend after, because that DC thing isn't too far away. That might be the next one on Xbox drops for sure. But again, thank you, Carl. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.